I'm Maggie.
And I'm Nicole. Welcome to the DAC Dyslexia and Coffee podcast. We're so happy you could join us. We're both moms and dyslexia interventionists who want to talk about our students and children, what dyslexia is, how it affects our kids, strategies to help, and topics related to other learning disabilities will all be covered in this podcast. Parents are not alone, and we want to give voice to the concerns and struggles we are all having. This is a safe place to learn more about how to help our children grow and succeed in school and in the world. Grab a cup of coffee and enjoy the conversation.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to episode 101 of Dyslexia and Coffee Podcast. We're going to start today's episode like we do every single week, and that's with the concept of the week. So the concept of the week is our opportunity as practitioners to kind of pull back that curtain a bit and let our listeners in to an intervention session. We really like to cover topics that either we would be directly instructing our students in, mm-hmm. or their parents, right, or caregivers. So today's concept of the week is phonemic awareness. Okay, so phonemic awareness is the ability to hear, identify, and manipulate individual speech sounds. Those are known as phonemes in spoken words. This is an entirely auditory task. So this is not students looking at printed words. These are exercises like tell me the sounds in the word cat. And then the students would have to say cat, or the opposite of that task too, where I would maybe give them individual sounds like bat, and they would have to give me the word bat. Again, it is one of those pretty important skills for reading that in some individuals, this develops quite naturally. Mm-hmm. But in other students, and especially our struggling readers, this is something that has to actually be explicitly taught. And it is one of the components in our lessons when we intervene in reading. It is generally the first thing we do as students, and it's about 1 to 2 minutes of our lesson every single time we meet with them.
Well, welcome to episode 101. So we're going to talk about a personal journey, dyslexia journey. This is part one. So a little history. Melissa Aiden was tested in 5K, right, for dyslexia. And he showed a lot of strengths. And a couple of weaknesses were noted, but they weren't strong enough in the data for us to really say either way how they were impacting him.
Yes.
And then that, the assessments that we do in 5K have a lot of pictures. And Aiden is an extremely smart little boy.
He sure is.
And so he was able to maybe anticipate what the question may have been based on the picture, not really maybe looking at all the words.
Yeah.
That's just
He's also
guess.
A kid with a very high oral vocabulary.
Yes, he is.
And very strong oral language skills in general.
So fast forward to this summer. He's just finished second grade. And so my first question, Maggie, what made you decide to test Aiden again?
Yeah, so really, I know too much, right? So I was really noticing that while he was progressing in his reading skills, it did not seem like the pace of progression was where it really needed to be.
Okay.
And as I was reading to him if I read something to him, mm-hmm. he can tell me a lot of detail.
Right.
Kind of that classic, his listening comprehension and his oral language is very intact. But if I was having him read something, he would give up very easily.
Okay.
He would get frustrated very quickly. And again, the classic, he would read a word on one page perfectly. Mm-hmm. And then a little later on that page, that same word is he was not getting. And it would be really, really frustrating for him. And so it was definitely, I knew something was not quite right. Mm-hmm. Also, knowing, right, there is a history of dyslexia in our family. So my mom actually has dyslexia, so does my brother. So I know there's a family history. I know these are things that he has shown some signs of struggle in the past. The testing that we did when he was in 5K, it was inconclusive. So I really knew at some point we were going to have to retest. Like either he was going to be doing fine right. Or we were going to start to see this gap emerge. And it was the second one, right? We saw this gap start to emerge. He did have a little bit of a difficult school year last year. Kind of the classic getting into a little bit of trouble when things got a little bit more difficult for him.
Yeah.
And I think I just knew we needed a little bit more information about what was going on with the reading part of him.
Yep. So during testing, how are you feeling about things while the testing was happening?
Well, poor little guy. Poor little guy had a real rough time with testing. That poor little guy.
This is the first time that's ever happened to me.
He actually got sick during testing.
Yeah, that's the first time that's ever happened to me in my 26 years of being an OT.
Yeah, it was.
It was actually kind of I have an occupational therapy student on their clinicals. And it was her first week, and her eyes just went, whoo!
Yeah, he, like, you know, I know it's kind of graphic, but like, he vomited. So there was
the hallway.
There was that. So,
you know, it was fine.
You know, it was fine. It was kind of the classic. I don't know how much success I set him up for either, because it was a little bit sprung on him. He's okay. He troopered through, right?
He did. He really did. And so, I was really proud of him by the end because he did get through everything eventually.
Yes. Yeah. Poor guy.
We did, of course, stop that day.
Yes. Yes. We did finish it. Reconvened.
At a different time.
You know, I really think, again, knowing what I know and the fact that I am a practitioner, mm-hmm. I was not surprised by really any of the findings, and I also knew exactly what tests you were going to do, so right. It was kind of fine because this for me, mm-hmm. I do all of these tests too. I did not test my own child because
correct, you never do that.
We never do that. So lucky for me, I have a Nicole.
lucky for me,
yeah.
I had an OT student get a really good education.
Yes, she sure did. She sure did. So glad I could be of assistance there. But I think like during, I don't know, unfazed, just because I know
what
what to expect, you know?
What about after the testing when you got the write-up?
Yeah.
I know you sneaked up to do some of the scoring before I was done.
I
was
sure
like,
did.
What are you doing? I don't like parents to do that.
I sure did.
And I was like, oh, she's already kind of figuring it out. Yeah. But it's fine.
Yeah.
But then I, of course, rescored it and, like, made sure.
Yes.
And then I scored the rest of it.
This was all above board. I just can't be helped. I think hard because while I was not surprised by the results,
right.
My practitioner brain was telling me the whole time, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, like my practitioner brain the whole time was telling me.
But your mom brain.
But my mom brain is so different. So like when your mom brain and your practitioner brain are in conflict with each other, boy, that just creates all the feels, right?
It does. It truly does.
You know, and long-term listeners, they know how good I am with the feels. Rough. It's rough for me to just even talk about it. I think it was ultimately validating, but it is very difficult to see on paper,
right,
where your own child has
exactly
deficits.
That's a really good way to explain it, because I've been through this 3 times.
Yes.
Myself.
Yeah.
And 2 out of 3.
Right.
You don't have dyslexia. So, because I tested the 3rd one just in case.
Yep. I did it. It was so fun. Yes. I loved testing her.
But I'm just saying that you explained that really well.
Yes.
My practitioner brain, even like early on, I knew something was happening, right?
Yes.
But my mom brain was like, warning.
Yes.
I don't like this. I don't like how this feels. I don't like how this is making me anxious and upset.
And I just feel like this is definitely like the mom part too, because on my mom radar thing, it was like, how did you not see that deficit even more, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like I should have known, kind of that, like, you should have kind of
break. I think we all feel that way no matter what. Even if they're like a baby.
Yes.
Like, how did I not see that last month?
And yes.
Like, because he was in that movie.
Yes. Right. And, you know, it's like, stop. I think I had to talk to myself like a practitioner.
Exactly.
Because the real truth is we did see it. We had him tested in 5K.
Right.
Because there was some stuff going on.
Correct.
There were red flags being kind of whipped up.
Exactly.
Quite a bit then. And then the real truth is, in first grade, he had an amazing classroom teacher, and I think he was getting the correct amount of support. And so his progress went way up.
Yes. That makes a lot of sense.
I was like, okay,
we're fine.
Yep. We are doing well. He is doing well. He is still, frankly, at a place where academically he is hanging in. And I think it is because he really does.
Mm-hmm. He has that high vocabulary and the intelligence there, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, he can hang in there.
He can hang in there for right now. For now. Mm-hmm. So we have not yet started to see that wicked gap that we do tend to see with those high-flying early-on kids.
Correct.
Or
those older students that we get sometimes, right?
Exactly.
Where they, all of a sudden, their gap is just, whoa, just happened?
We're starting to see it right with math, you know, and we have him in a math intervention right now, because we started to see that with the math piece. And it's just that not making things automatic, right? Well, guess what? That's dyslexia.
Yeah.
So, you know, here it is. So I think because I'm a mom, I feel in conflict, but I'm really feeling lucky to have the correct supports for him at my ready.
Right.
I mean, I'm real lucky. So honestly, I'm feeling good about this report, even though it is showing my kid has a deficit.
Right.
That's not the only thing it's showing, though. Like, it is showing that there are deficits. It's a pretty dang consistent profile. I mean, it doesn't really get more textbook than his profile, to tell you the truth.
Yeah.
Which actually makes me feel, I know this sounds so weird, it actually makes me feel good. Like, it's not ambiguous. It's not like, well, maybe.
Yeah, we definitely got rid of the maybe.
Yeah, we got rid of the maybe. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it clears a lot up, honestly.
Yeah. So what was your husband's reaction to the report?
you know, husbands are funny.
They are kind of funny. Yeah.
They are so funny. He is not surprised. I will be honest. He has not really like sat with the report yet. He hasn't. Mm-hmm. I think he, rightly or wrongly, considers this my area of expertise, and therefore mm-hmm. what I decide to do will go, kind of. And I'm trying to be really careful about the way I say that, because what I don't want people to think is that he does not, like, care or right. is not concerned or, like, isn't right. in it with me. Like, he is his dad, and he is a really, really good dad.
Yes.
It's not really that he feels like, it's not like he feels like only I can intervene. It's just that this is what I do for a living. So, to be honest, like, if our sink breaks, he's not like, Maggie, let's talk about what we should do about our sink. He is like, contractor, and he just fixes the dang sink, right? So in his defense, it isn't like a disengaged
right
dad. I want to be protective of him by saying that, but like I think he's really kind of like not surprised, because I've been voicing these concerns for a while. Right. We also have a 6-year-old who does not have dyslexia.
Oh, boy. Their 6-year-old is going to take over the world someday, by the way.
Oh, by 1,000%. Yeah. And
she's that.
She's smart. Such a high flyer. Reading for her has been
very different.
Very different. Very easy. She's quite accelerated. Her phonological awareness is in the 99th percentile. it's just not the same. And so I think really he absolutely has a very clear picture of mm-hmm. two kids, two very different learning profiles.
Right.
So I think in Aiden's case, it's like even more obvious
right.
that there is dyslexia at play.
Right.
Yeah. Husbands are funny.
They are funny.
I think he's kind of like, those numbers don't mean anything to me.
Correct.
So.
And I get that, right?
Yeah. Ours,
we have very technical reports for a reason, because we send them to doctors
exactly.
and schools.
Exactly.
And so I get that completely.
I think if he did not, like, if I was not his mom, we wouldn't be talking about the same kid, for sure. But I think his reaction would be much different if I, too, was receiving this information at the same level
right.
of knowledge that he has, which is not a lot. Like,
right.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't do what we do.
He doesn't do what we do. And I have done this before I was a mother.
Right.
Right. So, like, this is not... This is the water I swim in. Mm-hmm. It is not the water he swims in. So I think we're definitely at different places. Because honestly, to him, I think he's kind of like, okay, he has dyslexia. That's something I know now.
Got it. That makes a lot of sense to
yeah,
me.
Yeah, but I don't think it's like...
Right, and he knows what we do. So,
yes.
I mean, he's not worried about you not having somebody to help. Right.
Well, exactly. And like,
and I think that's part of it too.
What
right?
he hears me talk about at home is like, look at what my kids did today. Look at what my kids did today. Like, I think actually his view of dyslexia is very different than
a
common person's view of dyslexia, because I think he almost feels like, oh, he's in like a cool club now. which that's kind of the way I want Aiden to look at it, to be honest.
Yeah.
At least right now, at 8 years old, like,
exactly.
Yeah. Why would we not like celebrate it actually? Like, this is what it is. Mm-hmm. And it is kind of a cool club. It is.
Yep.
Yes, it's a hard road. And also.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's both. It's both and.
It is both and.
My favorite.
So have you told Aiden yet?
Okay, so this has been really interesting, right?
Okay.
Because this is coming up in the summer. Testing was a little rough for him, and
Just
I
a
wanted to
little.
have a little time of distance from the actual testing to
That makes
me
sense.
talking about the diagnosis with him. He's 8. So let's think about just age appropriateness. It would not be appropriate to sit down with the report line by line and explain these things to him.
Correct.
That
Drum
will go
off.
nowhere.
Yeah, he would be like, "What?"
I actually think someday
He'll be interested in it
he will
someday.
be interested in it because he is very much a sciencey kid.
He is.
He loves science. He loves talking about animals and like recently he's into maps and he's like just
Yeah, he'll like it someday to look at it.
someday this will be of high interest to him, but right now he's 8 and does not have the language for that.
Exactly.
So we have talked about he knows what dyslexia is because of what I do.
Right.
We have talked about the fact that Wilson has dyslexia,
Yes,
right?
my son has dyslexia. Yep, Wilson. And they're really good friends. So we haven't figured that out.
So we have told him that he has dyslexia. We have not had like a more formal sit you down kind of conversation with him about dyslexia. However, we did sign him up for the Talking Books library,
Yeah, that was good.
which is really good. I'm really trying to make this more of a good thing. This is something we now have a tool for. He was already receiving math intervention, and he already was feeling how that made him stronger, right? So his view of intervention was already and is already positive.
That's really good.
He's going to be receiving reading intervention and he already knows who he's going to be paired with. He likes her, you know. So I'm trying to build on all the positives that like he already has because obviously there will be times where this impacts him in a more negative way. But right now, he is not behind in school. He is not really struggling in school. If we can get the intervention now, I believe his outcome can be much different.
Yeah.
And he does have the oral language skills to really backfill where the phonological awareness and the rapid automatic naming part, like he has those compensatory skills to like backfill that for the time being. So we have told him that he has dyslexia. We've kind of told him like, hey, these are all the things that are open to you now. You get to come have reading intervention. You get to have tools in your toolbox like this cool Talking Books library. You have access to things that some of your peers do not. So he so far has really kind of not had a lot of questions. I think that will come when the school year comes, if that makes
Yeah, that
sense.
makes sense.
Because it's summer now.
It is summer now. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we kind of talked about your next steps going into reading intervention for sure.
Yes, for sure. Reading intervention. That's the next step for him, and it's the correct step. Yep.
Just because I know that this happens with a lot of us, parents with children that are have different needs.
Yeah.
Did you go through any grief process with this diagnosis?
You know, I think it is coming. I think that the summer has been
A little bit much.
a little much. I mean, I think the word that I used to describe the summer was like absurd, and I stand behind it. just personal life, business-wise, things have been just, it's just been a lot.
It has been a lot.
And I think it's been a lot of running and running, and not a lot of sitting and
Processing,
thinking and
yeah.
processing. I will say, I do think it's coming, because when we do what we do, we do understand the long-term effects, and dyslexia is not just about the academics. It's about the life outcomes and the impact that it has on somebody's life. He does have the double whammy, right? So he does have the existing ADHD diagnosis.
So does Wilson.
And he's got the dyslexia. So I understand how those two diagnoses can really impact our kids. And I absolutely, I don't know if it's more since we know this diagnosis or not, but I feel like it's worrisome, obviously, when you know what you know. Knowledge is not always power.
That is true.
That's true. Right. I think I am trying to let this play out how it's going to play out, like, and just kind of trust that he is going to get the reading intervention that he needs. I am anxious to see who his classroom teacher in third grade will be, because that will have a lot of impact on, like, what I do next, as far as, am I going to try to get accommodations for him at school? I already know that will be a long haul fight, because he is not impacting his academic performance at the moment.
Right.
And the way he scored on things like AIMSWeb was right in that 50th percentile. That is not going to do anything for him in terms of getting any kind of accommodations at school. So I already know that until and unless that percentile ranking starts going down, which I do not want, he will not be getting accommodations formally at school. So I will need to backfill at home, and I will need to do the things I can do directly with that classroom teacher. And we don't know who that's going to be yet. So, that's probably my top concern right now for him.
Right. Well, and I asked about the grief because I don't think that's getting talked about enough.
I agree with you.
I mean, with each diagnosis, it hit me at different times, right? Sometimes I was too busy and I didn't get it until like 6 months later. And then I like, oh my gosh.
I think that's.
And then sometimes
to me, it hit me if I'm being
immediately.
Honest. Yeah.
You know? And so
I do think my day is coming. It has not come with this diagnosis yet. It hit, I mean, the ADHD one, even though we were not surprised. We sought testing, right? This was not.
Yeah.
I really feel for some of the parents that I used to have in my office when I was teaching, because for some of those parents, truly, this was the very first time they were hearing that their kid had a deficit in anything, and they were legitimately shocked because they thought things were fine. And I was the one telling them,
not so much.
It's not fine. It's not fine. And this is what we're going to do about it, but it's actually not fine.
Yes.
We want it to be fine.
Yeah.
So I think I totally agree with you that grief process is not talked about enough. Because it was, you can't help it. You just feel like, I don't know, you're hurting your kids somehow. I'm not. I know I'm not. This isn't something we did.
Right.
Or he did, right?
Right.
And I think it's hard when it's something like a dyslexia or ADHD. And when I am on record over and over again talking about how that doesn't mean your kid is broken.
Right.
That means that there's something going on in the brain and there's something different.
Right.
But that doesn't mean, like, not as good. So then even to, like, go down the grief path as someone on record of saying that over and over and over, mm-hmm. Hits home. It hits home on a lot of levels that mm-hmm. I do think it will be a roller coaster mm-hmm. probably forever, honestly. Welcome to parenthood, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I think that's the other thing we don't talk about with grief. I mean, I can kind of speak to my own experience, like, having a disability. I was so worried about, I always knew I wanted kids, and it took a long time for me to decide to have biological kids, mm-hmm. Because there is a genetic component to my disabilities. And I really needed to think about, what does that look like? So if they do inherit, you know, visual impairment, what does that look like? You know, right. and will I be essentially okay with that?
Right.
You know, and I mean, in the end, spoiler, yep, I've got two kids. They're biologically mine. And, you know, I came to that decision over time. And other people I know make different decisions, and that's okay. But I think speaking to that experience, like, grief is not linear. It is cyclical, and it hits you
the weirdest times.
The weirdest times.
Yep. Yes, it does.
So my day is coming, I think. My days are coming on this one. and maybe we can do an episode then, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because this is not a one and done, right?
No.
It's a lifetime.
It is a lifetime. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you have any advice for parents?
You know, I think this is a little bit of a cop-out answer. but I think my advice is, like, lead with as much clarity as you can. Mm-hmm. Talk about dyslexia as complex, because it is complex, mm-hmm. Lean into the positives. I will speak to, like, my own specific kid. Like, Aiden is incredibly inquisitive. mm-hmm. He's creative. He is kind. He is a kid who can tell a story like no other. His brain is constantly going. And I learn a ton from being his mom. So dyslexia is one thing about him.
Right.
And it will be a hardship for him. And it will also bring him joy, right? The things that make his brain tick, with the ADHD and the dyslexia, are also just, like, some of my absolute favorite things about that kid. Mm-hmm. And I'm really trying to lean into all of his strengths. And that's what I would tell any parent to do. Like, look at your whole kid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's gonna be some rocks, right? that's all of us. That's
exactly.
All of us humans on this planet. There's gonna be things that we slam into, but there's gonna be a whole lot of other things that we can use our strengths to overcome, and this is another one of those things. You know, follow up in 6 months, I don't know. And just hold everything loosely. Like, you don't know.
Exactly.
You don't know what the outcome is going to be for your kids. And the longer I am a parent, the longer I see that is completely true. anytime I try to, like, assert control over an outcome for either one of my kids, that's when I'm pulling all my hair out and we're just all mad at each other. Like, I don't know.
Well, thank you so much for being so honest about this process for you. So, Maggie, what's happening beyond dyslexia?
Oh, my gosh. I feel like my entire world is really all about dyslexia right now. So, I find this segment funnier and funnier as we keep going on this podcast because I feel like it's all about it right now. And I feel like I do want to talk about something like a really big milestone for our company. And that is that we have officially completed our first foundations training. So Nicole and I are both now becoming trainers for the SLANT system. And it's a really big deal. It is the first time they have let other people teach their curriculum. And it's the first time we've taught this curriculum.
So go us!
There's, you know, so kind of our first major class, three full days from, you know, 8:30 to 3:30, stand and deliver. I really felt like a brand new baby teacher again. I mean, I came home just as exhausted as I did when I was like student teaching. And I was like, oh, this is what that used to feel like. Oh my God, I'm exhausted. But it also felt really good. And I'm really excited for us because this is, it's a next step for us, like personally and for our business. And I just see the like spider web of impact that we're going to be able to have. So I'm really excited for us.
Yes. I would say my Beyond Dyslexia is the same, considering tomorrow we're going to be talking about the advanced classes we're going to be teaching in a couple weeks. So,
so one hurdle cleared and
more to come.
More to come.
Right, though. It's like learning how to teach all over again.
Yeah, and it is.
Getting feedback and, you know, being the novice again. It's kind of funny how you go from expert to novice to in between to up back to expert and then back to, it's just,
It's a much like grief, right?
We're just going up and down.
It's just, it's all over. And I mean, it's like.
But that's how you grow, right?
That is how you grow.
You learn.
Exactly. It feels good.
It does feel good.
Yeah. Well, thank you, everybody. Please follow us on social media and reach out if you have any questions or you would like us to discuss a topic. If you do like our show, be sure to follow and rate our show on your favorite podcast player. Guys, please, 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 those ratings and those comments, that's how we get pushed up in those algorithms, and that's how we get to help more families. So thank you, everybody.
Thank you.